Hey, should I unmute it? Would that help? All right. I apologize to everybody on the live stream. Those were hilarious stories that I just told that you missed out on. That's why you should be here in person. And everybody said amen. All right. So I got this, we got this mailbox, and not even, you know, within 2 weeks, there was this person that went around and was stealing mail, but it was okay because I had a locking mailbox. At the time, I was so confused, but later, I was incredibly grateful that I had been given this gift. Have you ever been given a gift that you didn't know you needed at the time and then has become invaluable to you? Let me just see your hand. If you can think of a gift, yeah, several of you guys raising your hands. Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of things that would fit this category, whether it's kitchen utensils. You get a gift you didn't know you ever needed a mixer, and now you can't live without it. Things like that. There are all of these things that are gifts that are for these future opportunities, these future problems that they solve for you. And it's important to plan for things like that. But there is a gift that's talked about in the Bible that probably takes the cake in all of these, and that is found in Matthew chapter 2. And the question that I want to ask is, why would you bring embalming fluid to a baby shower? Like you've got, I can understand, like, trying to be prepared. That feels a little too prepared to me. We got so this guy, he's bringing myrrh, and you can see from the look on his face that it looks like he's in on the joke, right? He's like, I know exactly what I'm doing here. Anyway, welcome to week 2 of our Christmas series called The Gift. We're looking at the gifts of the Magi, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2, which talks about these interesting individuals. We don't have a lot of information about them, but we know that they brought 3 gifts. They traveled a long distance, and these gifts that they brought were designed to foretell, to prophesy who Jesus is and who Jesus would become. Last week, we talked about the gift of frankincense, which was a type of incense, a type of perfume that would have been used in the temple during prayers. And we talked about how it prophesied that Jesus was going to be our high priest. But the Bible says that he's not just a pastor up on stage that has no relationship with us, but instead he was in and among the people. The Bible says that he is a high priest who can empathize with our weaknesses, that he's been through everything that we've gone through, that he's experienced rejection, he's experienced pain, he's experienced loss. And in all of these things, the Bible says that he was without sin. So he was able then to offer the perfect sacrifice for us. Before we get to this week's gift, I need to check on all of the parents that are in here. A couple days ago, we got an email that said that there was a tentative agreement reached. So for all of you parents in here, I just want to check on you for a minute. I hope that you guys made it through this last week okay. I hope that everything, there's still peace in your household. I hope that things are going well. I know that for a lot of us in here, this last week was stressful. It was confusing. There were times, I mean, man, go on Facebook and you couldn't go 3 posts without finding somebody angry about what was going on. People feeling overwhelmed. Some of us in here felt all of the above, and I would raise my hand to that, and I know others of you in here would as well. But the truth is that for our parents in here, we're looking at now, it looks like, the light at the end of the tunnel. But even if you're not a parent, we all go through storms in life. Don't we? We all have trials that come up. We've all got things that lead to us being frustrated, being torn, being, you know, all of these different emotions that we face. And the Bible reminds us that the storms that we face are actually symptoms of a greater disease. there is a cause, there is a reason for the storms that we go through in life. It has a name. So the health battles that you're facing, the financial stress, the pressure of the holidays, the parenting fatigue, the loneliness, the isolation, those of you that are empty nesters and your house just feels too quiet most of the time, we know that that type of pain is a symptom of a greater disease that we're going through. And at some point, we just accept it. We just say, this is the way that life is. This is the way that life must always be. But the truth is, it wasn't always like this. It wasn't. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to go into it in detail right now, but the world is broken because of sin. And the things that we experience today are happening as a result of the sin that is happening all around us, and that initial sin that took place back in the garden. Last week, we talked about how God has a plan to fix everything. And this week, we're going to talk about how Jesus came to bring us peace by dealing with the source of our pain. Let me say that one more time. Jesus came to bring us peace by dealing with the source of our pain. Amen. See, we know the source of our troubles, don't we? We talked about it last week. We know that sin brought chaos, but in Jesus, we find everything put back in order. Throughout the Old Testament, God promised us peace. In Jesus, he purchased our peace, and now we have peace that is present today. And we're going to hit all three of these things really quick. He promised us peace, he purchased our peace, and now we have peace today because of what he did for us. And so what we see here is that Jesus brings peace today because he carried our pain on the cross. Amen. Come on. Come on. I love baptism because it expresses this thought so well, that we see people going through this. We're washing the sin off of us symbolically, right? Jesus already did it, but we're going from death into life because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's start then. We're going to go back 700 years before the birth of Jesus to the divided kingdom of Israel. We're going to look at the book of Isaiah, and we're going to read a couple passages, chapter 9 and chapter 53, I believe. But we're going to look at a couple of passages. Now, Isaiah, again, 700 years before Jesus, is prophesying. He's talking to the people in the southern kingdom of Judah. It's important to note that the Israel at this point has split in two. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And Isaiah is prophesying in the southern kingdom about things that are going to take place. And he prophesies to give hope that there's a Messiah coming. There's somebody coming that's going to help us out. The northern kingdom during this time is under intense warfare from the Assyrian nation. They are being bombarded. They are being overrun. Eventually, they would be completely destroyed, and all of the peoples exiled into other lands. And Isaiah is looking at all of this happening. He says, "There's somebody coming that's going to fix it all. All of the pain, all of the chaos, all of the heartache, all of the striving." All of the people trying to have dominion over others, all of that, he's going to wipe it away. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, says a pretty famous Christmas scripture. Says, "For to us a child is born, and we celebrate him every Christmas. For to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you just think about Jesus in relation to these four sayings, man, how many times do you just need somebody to talk to? How many times do you just need a counselor you can go over, you can lay down on their couch, and you can just start spilling out all of the things that are going on, and they can tell you, and they can help to guide you in life? How many times do we need a counselor in life? But it's not just a counselor that we need. Sometimes we need somebody that's not just going to listen to our problems, but somebody that's going to step in and to help to fix those things that are going on. So we need a wonderful counselor, but we also need a mighty God, don't we? Not only that, but not only do we need a mighty God, but we also have an everlasting Father. This is somebody that wants to give to us, that wants to take care of us. We read a few weeks ago that Jesus said that as a good father, our Father wants to give good gifts to his children. And in Jesus, we see somebody that wants to meet our needs, that wants to help us in everything that we're going through. And also in a father, because fathers carry dual roles, also that is going to discipline us when we need it. Somebody say amen. That's a tough one, but it's true. Because fathers play this dual role of provider and also the disciplinarian. The one that's going to call you out when you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And in Jesus, our high priest, we see somebody who's going to be our everlasting Father. And lastly, he's our Prince of Peace. He's our Prince of Peace. We see here that peace is promised to us. The Bible says that the government will rest upon his shoulders, that he is going to be the one to bring peace to the nations. Again, imagine Isaiah out there. He's looking at the northern kingdom. He's dreaming about peace. He's thinking about, man, what would it be like if the Assyrians were just taken care of? If somebody could come and set us free from the turmoil and the pain that we're dealing with right now, what would it be like? And so he's prophesying and he's saying that we are going to have a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And this right here is why the Magi traveled so far. This is why they came such a great distance, is because they were looking for peace. In the same way, some of you guys in here have traveled. Some of you guys in here, you got out of bed early this morning. Maybe somebody invited you to come watch them get baptized, and now you're just here. Whatever your reason is, we're all looking for peace. We're all looking for somebody that can take away this issue, this turmoil, this pain inside of us. Now, some of you guys in here, you know Jesus. And yet we still all deal with a lack of peace from time to time, don't we? It crops up in our relationship with God, but it also crops up a lot in our relationship with others. And we find we go through seasons and times in life where life is just tough. There's tension. There's pain. Somebody gets offended. Side note. Offense has to be the biggest trap that the enemy tries to pull on all of us. If you walk into a room and you look across the room and somebody that is standing there and you turn around and walk out of that room, there's some offense there that needs to be dealt with. If you're carrying bitterness inside of you, if somebody gets something and you feel immediately like they do not deserve the thing that they just got, I want you to check your heart. I want you to start thinking about what is the bitterness, because here's what happens with bitterness. Bitterness steals our peace. It keeps us from experiencing all that God has for us. It keeps us in bondage so that we can't ever serve God the way that God wants us to. Come on. So what we see here is that Jesus wants to bring us peace, not only with God, but also with others as well. And then in a minute, we're going to talk about how Jesus wants to bring us that inward peace. But I wanted to mention that idea of offense right now, because it's such a lie. It's such a trap of the enemy. What happens is we start to think to ourselves, well, if God knew what I was going through, he would understand. If God knew how I was wronged, I'm sure he would take my side. I have a right to be angry. Right? That's how we approach it. That's what we think. I have a right. But we don't. We don't. He is our Prince of Peace. He came to deliver us. All right. So Isaiah, again, prophesying about this attack that's happening, what he didn't realize is that Jesus came to bring peace to the world by bringing peace to people. Let me say that again. Jesus came to bring peace to the world by bringing peace to people. See, he came to change us. God had a plan, and that plan has been to bring peace to the chaos and salvation to the soul. And the Magi, 700 years after this is prophesied, they're reading these accounts. They're reading this, and there's something stirring inside of them. They're saying, I need peace. I need to know what God wants from me. I need that counselor, that father that can come and that can help me. And so they travel hundreds of miles on foot, on camel. I don't know how they got there, but they travel. And as they come, they bring gifts saying that I need peace. But Isaiah didn't stop in chapter 9. He switches over, and now we're gonna read chapter in chapter 53. And this is just a little bit later on in Isaiah's ministry. And he starts to prophesy a little bit more about this Messiah. And he starts to talk about not just who the Messiah would be to us, not just that he would be our wonderful counselor and our Prince of Peace, but he starts to talk about the cost of that peace. He starts to talk about what Jesus meant, or what Jesus would mean to us. Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. Guys, this is 700 years before Jesus would walk the earth. He's talking about Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We have peace that was promised. We have peace that was purchased. And myrrh, this gift that the Magi bring, reveals Jesus's mission. I have a picture here. This is a myrrh tree. And this is what they get the oil from. And the way that they get the oil is going to be similar to, if you've ever seen anybody get maple syrup out, except instead of driving something into the heart of the tree, what they do is they cut strips into the bark. And as the tree is attempting to heal itself, there's an oil that's produced, and they harvest that oil. Literally, the tree is wounded so that people can have life. The tree is wounded so that people can have life. Myrrh comes from a wounded tree, and our peace came from his punishment. The myrrh is not just embalming fluid. That's the most sensational use for it. It also had antiseptic properties to it. In other words, it was actually healing oil that somebody could take. Not only that, but it was an ancient pain reliever, you know, similar to like Tylenol or ibuprofen or something like that. If you ingested it, what's interesting is that Jesus on the cross is given wine mixed with myrrh, or some translations say vinegar, but it's myrrh that is mixed in there as a pain reliever. And in when he's hanging on the cross, the Bible says that he refuses that pain reliever that could have helped to take some of the edge off of what he was going through, because he was doing it for us, because he bore our punishment. So when I said earlier that they brought embalming fluid to a baby shower, I wonder if the wise men, if the Magi knew what they were doing, if they had put together chapter 9 and then chapter 53, and they said there's something unique, something different about this child, that it's not going to be all smooth sailing. It's not going to be everything is up and to the right. It's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows. I don't know if they knew or not, but regardless, it shows that God had a plan. God had a plan for what they were going through. As a reminder, as we celebrate Christmas, it's important for us to remember that there's no Christmas without the cross. That without what Jesus did, there is no peace. There is. Without his sacrifice, there is no peace. You see, peace is not just about restoration. Peace is not just about an end to fighting. It's not just about us coming back to God and okay, you know, yes, you're forgiven, but I never want to see you again, right? It's not just about there's no more tension, there's no more turmoil. It's not just about the debt has been paid. Instead, peace includes restoration. Because if there's a debt that is forgiven and you see that person, that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be in relationship with them again. In fact, some of you guys have had people in your life that have really hurt you, and you need, it's healthy to put up boundaries. Now, I would encourage you to continue working through those and never make a final declaration that I'm never going to see you again. Always be looking for peace, because this is what God did for us. Amen? Amen. You see, this is what God wants. It's not peace through separation. It's not, I forgive you, but stay over there. Instead, it's peace through restoration. So we have peace that is promised. We have peace that is purchased. And now in Jesus, we can have peace present today. Romans chapter 5 says it like this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's saying here is that when we believed in, or when we had faith in Jesus, we were justified. What is justified? Justified is it's like God is the judge, and he's standing there, and you're on trial, and Jesus is your defender, and Satan is the accuser, and it's time to pronounce the judgment, and in pronouncing the judgment, God hits his gavel on the desk, and he says, there is no crime. There was no crime ever committed. I don't know what happened. All of the evidence is gone. All of the things, everything has been washed away. There is no more crime. In Jesus, we were justified. Our sins forgiven and washed away. Come on. So he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so it's by believing in Jesus, we were wiped away. The judge pounded his gavel. You no more sin. In fact, we can't even find a record of it. Not only, he says, since we have been justified, now we get to have peace with God. So what happens after this trial is over, you hug your lawyer, you hug all of your friends and family, and then the judge says, hey, come here, I want to show you something. And the judge calls you back into his study, and the judge looks at you and he says, hey, not only are you forgiven, not only can I not find a record of your wrong, why don't you come move in with me? I got plenty of rooms. I got enough stuff. I got everything you would ever need. Not only are you forgiven, there is a new relationship that's formed. Amen? This is what we celebrate in baptism. This is what we celebrate right here. We moved from death into life. We were ready to be punished. And now God has made a way for us. Come on. All right. So, peace was promised. Peace was purchased so that you can have peace today. Our question then is, what storm are you facing right now? What is the area of your life where you need peace? Maybe it is, and in fact, I think that there are probably several people in here that need to forgive somebody, that you've been holding on to this chain. You walked into that judge's chamber, but you didn't let them take the handcuffs off first. You walked in there, you've been holding on to something that quite honestly is going to keep you from experiencing everything God has for you. I mention it often. I'll mention it again. fantastic book called The Great Divorce, right? Olivia knew what I was going to say before I even said it. If you get it, read it. I will buy you coffee so we can talk about it. I love this book. It's a fantastic book. In there, he imagines this story of a man who's dealing with a brother who was murdered. And as he's facing down, he ends up in heaven, and the murderer is in heaven. The murderer is standing there, and the difference between this man going into eternity with God and going back to hell is his ability to forgive this man that murdered his brother. It's a fascinating book because, and I know I've spoiled this for a lot of you, but every time the person says no, every time they're faced with that choice, they say, I would rather hold on to my bitterness. I would rather hold on to my anger. I would rather hold on to my intellectualism, my pride, my vanity, my greed, whatever it is. I would rather hold on to that thing than to give up and to find new life in God. Don't let yourself be that today. Don't let yourself be that person. I believe that you can know God and still be frustrated with people, still be angry with people. So I'm not saying that your bitterness is going to send you to hell. That's God's job to judge, not mine. I don't have to make that call. What I'm telling you guys today is that you will never experience the freedom. You will never experience the power. You will never experience the love that God wants to give if you can't let these things go. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that he is our wonderful counselor. He's ready to listen. He's our mighty God. He'll give you the strength to forgive. He's our everlasting Father. He's going to call you out when you're not doing everything you should be doing. And he's also going to give to you when you need it. And he is our Prince of Peace. And what storms are you facing right now? What are you going through? Maybe it's health issues that you're going through. Maybe I know some of you guys, I've actually had some conversations recently with some people who would say that they just don't know what their purpose is. Like they've raised their kids are moved out, you know, now I've got 10, 15 years before I retire. Like, and they're kind of struggling with this idea of, is this all there is right now to life? Is this what I should be doing? Even some with, you know, kids that are teenagers, but they're more independent. You're starting to wrestle with these questions. If you are struggling with a lack of peace in your life, God is here for you today. You see, Jesus came to bring us peace with God, to bring us peace with others, and to bring us peace inside of ourselves. We call this the upward peace, the outward peace, and the inward peace, right? Really easy to remember. Upward, outward, and inward. God wants to bring you peace in all of these areas. If you are struggling, if there's something in here that's resonating today, I want you to grab your note sheet. Because I've actually got a couple of lists here. I want you to jot down one idea that is something that you can do this week in order to help bring peace to your life. So a few things really quick. I'm going to have the worship team go ahead and come back up. In just a minute, we're going to open up the altars. And we're going to ask you guys, especially those of you that you're saying, I'm struggling. Maybe it's my relationship with God. And I want to make sure I have peace there. We're going to invite you to pray. We're also going to say, for those of you that are struggling outwardly with others and you need peace, we want to give you the opportunity to find peace today. We want to pray with you. Also, for those of you that it's inward, you're dealing with stress and anxiety and these different pressures, and you know that you're putting it on yourself, we want to pray for you as well. But before we do that, I want you guys to jot these things down. So Here's three things on three different ways that you can receive peace from Jesus. The first one is memorize and repeat Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. If you want to find peace every time you're going through something difficult, quote that verse. Just allow that, soak in that, meditate on it, because God is going to use it. Number two, release what you can't control. There are some things in your life, you can't control how that other person treats you. You can't control what is going on in certain situations of your life. You can't control the amount of bills that are weighing on you right now. So we're gonna give those things over to God. We're gonna lay them down at His feet. The Bible says that His burden is easy and His yoke is light. So we're gonna go to Him and we're gonna release those things to Him. And then number three, we're gonna let the Holy Spirit guard your heart and your mind. So just take these things to the Lord in prayer and allow Him to guard your heart. Second thing, so that's how we receive peace from Jesus. The next thing, how we bring peace into our relationships. Here's something that you might want to focus on, especially if you are dealing with some tension, some frustration with other people. Speak gently and listen well, right? Even practice that kind of active listening where you repeat, so what I hear you saying is to make sure that they know that you're listening, to make sure that you know that you're listening, right? We're gonna speak gently, we're gonna listen well. Number two, we're gonna forgive quickly and we're gonna hold on to grace, because it's by grace that you have been saved, and those of us that have been forgiven should choose to forgive. Now you might not get it right all at once. It might not just be enough to say, God, I forgive them, and then you move on. It might be a pattern. It might be every time you see them in the grocery store for a while, you have to choose again to forgive them. But if you want to bring peace into your relationships, this is something that you need to do. And then number three, pursue reconciliation. Okay, don't allow these things to fester. Don't allow yourself to be estranged for a long period of time. Sometimes you do have to set boundaries, and that's okay. And it's healthy. It's how, you know, if you're in triage, if you've been wounded, you don't immediately go out and put yourself back in that same situation again. You wait until you're healed up. But eventually, you do need to go back, and you do need to pursue reconciliation. There are some people that don't want anything to do with you, and that's fine. I want to relieve you of that burden. But the Bible says, as much as it's possible, live at peace with everyone. So pursue reconciliation. Pursue that opportunity to come back together. Don't try to win the argument. Just look for the relationship. How can we build a relationship? It's okay to pray, you know, hey, we're not going to talk about politics at Thanksgiving. We're not gonna address these subjects at Christmas, right? It's okay to set those boundaries, but look to preserve the relationship. So myrrh was given to remind us of the cost of our peace. It was given to remind us that Jesus would come and Jesus would sacrifice Himself so that we can have peace, so that we can know who God is. And in this, we see that we can have peace with God, we can have peace with others, and we can have peace inside of ourselves as well. Father God, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for Jesus, who came that we might have and we might know peace. God, we thank You for the shed blood, that perfect sacrifice that made a way. When we didn't have any hope, when we couldn't do it on our own, God, we couldn't fix the things that were broken. But God, You sent Your Son to set us free and to let us live for You. So God, I pray that this Christmas season, we would all experience the grace and the peace and the love that You have for us. In Jesus' name. If you guys are in here and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to talk to you for just a minute. Because Jesus came first and foremost, so that we can have peace with God. The Bible says that right now, if you don't have a relationship with him, that there is a divide between you and God, that there is a break in the relationship, that like I said earlier, you are on trial and you are set to be punished. But in Jesus, we find that deliverance. In Jesus, we find that hope. He died so that you can have life. If you would like to accept that free gift that Jesus has for you, in just a second, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to have you raise your hand all across this place. If you're watching online, make sure to click the link in the chat, because we want to follow up with you. We want to make sure that nobody walks through this process alone. But if you're in here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to start that relationship, or maybe it's been a while and you want to come back to him, when I count to three, I'm going to have you raise your hand all across this place. Christians, if you could be praying right now, because I know God is working on some people's hearts. And we want to just, I'm just going to count to three now. Ready? One, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart. Two, raise your hand, the count of three. Right now, go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. One in the back, anybody else? Down front here, anybody else? Jesus came that you might have peace. This is the story of Christmas. It's God sending his son to save us, to deliver us, to give us peace. Anybody else in here? All right. Let's go ahead and we're gonna repeat this prayer together. We want to pray with the people that are getting saved this morning, because we believe that that they are becoming part of the family. And so as a family, we're going to pray this prayer together. Everybody say, Father God, thank you for sending your son to be my peace and bring me peace. Thank you for the cross, and thank you for Christmas. I'm sorry for the hurt I've caused. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Make me white as snow. I want to be in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give these guys a hand. If you're in here today, if you raised your hand, in just a minute, I'm gonna invite people down to the altar. I would love to pray with you. I would love to just encourage you. Make sure you fill out a Next Steps card so that we can follow up with you as well. And if you're watching online, make sure to click the link in the chat. Today, I just, maybe it's because of this last week and the school strike and stuff like that, but I feel a burden to pray for parents today. That you are feeling you're overstressed, you're overworked, Christmas is coming, you haven't bought anything yet, you're trying to get Christmas decorations up, but your kids aren't helping, right? There's so much pressure during this holiday season, and I just feel this burden right now to pray for parents, to pray that God would give you the strength, that God would give you the peace that you need. The Bible says, Philippians 4, that the peace of God guards our heart. In other words, when we're going through hard times, as long as we have peace, we can get through any situation, anything that life throws at us. So if you're in here today and you need that peace, in just a minute, I'm going to invite you down to the altars. I also am feeling a burden today to pray for people who are looking for purpose. You're kind of spinning your wheels right now, and you're kind of trying to figure out, what God do you have for me? What do you want me to be doing? Life is pretty good, but it's feeling a little bit empty, and you need purpose today. I want to pray for you as well. And I also want to pray for people that are experiencing pain this morning. If you're in here today and there is something going on inside of you, I want to pray for you. I want to believe God. We're going to trust God. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to believe God for your healing today. Because the Bible says that by his stripes, we are healed. That the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And so we want to pray and we want to believe God, that God is going to heal today. The worship team's going to lead us in this song. And if you need prayer today, especially if you're in one of those three areas, but if you need prayer for anything today, I want to encourage you as we stand to come down to the front and we'll pray with you. We're going to have, if we have prayer team members or deacons that could be available, we want to make sure that we take time to pray for everybody that has a need today. Worship team, why don't you go ahead and lead us in this song? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And if that's you today, if you need prayer for any of those areas or anything else, make your way down to the altar, and we want to pray for you today. Let's sing this song together.